Luke chapter 7. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat at table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was sitting at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is. I'm a skeptic. I want to know how the Pharisee knew what kind of a woman it was and what she was doing around his front door in the first place. You have to be very careful when you see the critics of Jesus, see what really happens. For she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, what is it, teacher? A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they couldn't pay, he forgave them both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, to whom he forgave more. And Jesus said to him, you've judged rightly. Then turning to the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? Simon, I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. That's the equivalent to say, you didn't ask me to come in and take off my coat. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. That's the equivalent of saying, you didn't shake hands with me and ask me to come in and sit down. But from the time I came in, she's not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who's this who even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. In Luke chapter 8, soon afterward, Jesus went on through cities and villages, bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, preaching and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Johanna the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. It was a group of women, including former demon-possessed women, evil women, who had been saved, and who were following him, and who were giving of their means the devoted gifts of multitudes of people, including multitudes of women who have given of their substance, have kept the gospel circulating in the course of the century. Verse 4, and when a great crowd came together, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path, and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said this, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. It's worthwhile noting that what the Lord is saying here is that the Bible is not written for everybody. I know, there are people that say it's the universal book, it belongs to the world, and in one sense that is true. But the Lord God Almighty has definitely stated that inward spiritual truth is for Christians only. I might put it in this simple way. Even the university or the high school will not allow you to take French 4 till you've had French 1. You can't have trigonometry till you've had algebra. There are what is known as prerequisites. And God says nobody is ever going to have Bible knowledge 400 until he has had salvation ABC. This is the way God begins with people. If you have not been born again, God will not give you advanced Christian truth. I'd rather have a child taught in Sunday school by a blacksmith who quit school at the age of 12, who hadn't been beyond the fifth grade, but who had been to Calvary and who knew Christ, rather than to send my child to a class taught by a PhD in religious education from a modernistic seminary where they taught religion without Christ. To him that hath shall be given, to him that hath new life in Christ shall be given knowledge of the word of God, and to him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has, as we'll see in just a moment. But now we go back to verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts that they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. Now note this fact. They're not saved. They receive the word with joy. This accounts for many, 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 quote, decisions, unquote, in revival meetings. Oh, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. Let's make a decision. They receive the word with joy, but they are not saved. They say, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I'm saved. I have eternal life. But they are not saved. They have received the word on the rock, quote, with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. They have never been born again. They can be baptized. They can join a church. They can make a, quote, decision, unquote, and so on. But they have never been saved. Verse 14, and as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, that is a new heart, created, this heart of stone taken away, and God has given them a new heart, and bring forth fruit with patience. Verse 16, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a stand, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hid that shall not be made manifest, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. Take heed then how you hear. That's very important. That's for every one of you here tonight. Take heed how you hear. It might well be that there are people here who say, oh yes, I'm a Christian. Are you? Well, I was baptized when I was a baby, or I went to church and was dedicated. Yes. Are you saved? Oh, I believe in all that. Well, it's got to be a whole lot more than that surface, I believe. It's got to be something that has its root and that fills your heart and life and that controls your being. Take heed then how you hear. For to him who has new life in Christ will more be given. And from him who has not new life in Christ, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. In one of my books, His Own Received Him Not, I point out that this might well be translated, to him that hath new life in Christ shall be given understanding of spiritual fruit. But to him that hath not new life in Christ shall be taken away even that common sense that might make him a PhD. If he has not new life in Christ, he cannot understand. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him for the crowd. In the scripture, we discover that every time that anybody asked Mary to intercede with Jesus, she never got what she went after. She came in John 2 and said, the wine has run out. And he said, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Don't presume on your relationship to me, in other words. And she just went away modestly and said, well, whatever he says, do it. And later on, when his time was ripe, he did it. In another case, as is recorded in Matthew, they went and got Mary and her other children, and they came and brought him the message, your mother and your brethren are outside. And he said, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? Don't presume to approach me on a human relationship. There came to him his mother and his brethren and could not get near him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Now in verse 22, one day he got into a boat with his disciples. And he said to them, let us go across to the other side of the lake. So they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a storm of wind came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased. And there was a calm. He said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid. And they marveled, saying one to another, who then is this, that he commands even wind and water, and they obey him? And they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And as he stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes. And he lived not in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, and fell down before him, and said with a loud voice, what have you to do with me, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I beseech you, do not torment me. For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and fetters, but he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, what is your name? And he said, Legion. That's the equivalent of saying battalion, regiment, army corps. Legion, for many demons had entered into him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him to let them enter these. This is very interesting. You'll notice that even the devil can't even touch a pig until he gets permission from God. Very interesting. Couldn't touch Job till he got permission from God. And he couldn't touch a pig. The devil can never touch a Christian until he has direct permission from God. No Christian can be demon-possessed. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. No believer can be touched by Satan. Nothing can ever touch us until it has been passed through the will of God. Now, the difference between a fallen angel and a demon, I believe, is that the fallen angels were created angels and the demons were the spirits without bodies of the great creation of human beings that existed on this earth before Adam and that were destroyed in the judgment of Lucifer's sin, those that followed Satan. Because we must never forget that the earth had been inhabited, as we read in Jeremiah 4, and God said when he had reformed and refashioned the earth in 6 days, not created it, because it originally had been created, had lasted X years, millions if you like, and then had been cursed because of Lucifer's fall and had existed in a dark way of chaos, glaciers creeping up and down the world from Africa and back to the North Pole, volcanoes rising. Millions and hundreds of millions of years this earth is old, with times of beasts as big as this church roaming around upon the earth, and a type of men that had existed here who, when they sinned, became the demon spirits, their spirits leaving their bodies, not going to hell, not being in any wise punished except that they could not have bodies, and with all of bodily desires, without bodily possibilities of functioning. And Then it was that in 6 days God reformed and refashioned the earth and put a new race of man on here, which we are descended, and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now these demons wanted bodies. They wanted a body more than anything else. Can you imagine a great big thirst without a mouth? Well, that's what the demons were. A great big lust without fulfillment, without any bodily function. Just desire and no possibility. And they would rather be in a pig than just be going around in the air without a body. So they prayed God. They prayed Christ. And Jesus gave them leave. And if someone says, why did he do that? Well, in the book of Jeremiah, there was a curse upon any Jew that raised a pig. These people were off in the edge of Israel, and little by little they had found it profitable to do this thing. This was an abomination to God, and there was a curse upon it. And what the Lord Jesus did was take the demons out of the man, put them into the pigs, and bring this people to the point where they realized what they were doing. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it to the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how he who had been possessed with demons was healed. Then all of the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them. It's terrible when people love swine more than they do God. But we have them in our American way of life. Let's not forget it. For they were seized with great fear, and he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. That's always the desire. One of the things that a minister has to do is to keep young Christians from all wanting to go into the ministry. You find somebody saved and they say, well, I want to go and preach. Well, you go back and be what you've been doing. Engineer, doctor, lawyer, merchant. It would be a poor, poor world if everybody became a preacher. There are too many already, the wrong kind. And there's no doubt of the fact that if men were just in the ministry because of the power of the Holy Spirit, that would be one thing. I always say to someone who talks to me about being a minister, don't do it if you can help it. I said to a boy the other day, if you could be satisfied as being pitcher of the New York Yankees or succeeding Hoover as head of the FBI, if you could be happy as president of the United States or justice of the Supreme Court or president of a college or a bank, God has not called you into the ministry. But there's always this first eager thrust. Oh, I want to go with you. And the Lord Jesus Christ sent him away, saying, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue. And falling at Jesus' feet, he besought him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age. And she was dying. As he went, the people pressed round about him. And a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood ceased. Now, you have here in this verse, if you'll notice the difference between the Revised Standard Version, the King James Version, they leave out the phrase that she had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. See, this is not in the earliest Greek manuscripts. It was in some later manuscripts, and they put it in. But the revision follows very closely the older manuscripts. There are ancient authorities which say that she had spent all her living upon physicians. And Jesus said, who was it that touched me? When all denied it, Peter said, Master, the multitude surround you and press upon you. But Jesus said, someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone forth from me. Now the King James Version says virtue. It's very important that this be changed back to power, because the word virtue in the 20th century means chastity. But the word virtue 300 years ago had nothing whatsoever to do with the idea of chastity. Virtue came from the Latin word vir, which means man. and which you have in such words as virile and virility and virtue, the manliness, the authority and power of strength that is that of a man. And this was the meaning of the word. And the Lord perceived that strength is gone out of me, physical power. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him, and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, a man from the ruler's house came and said, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher any more." But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, "Do not fear, only believe, she shall be well." And when he came to the house, he permitted no one to enter with him except Peter and John and James, and the father and mother of the child. And all were weeping and bewailing her. But he said, "Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, he called, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she got up at once, and he directed that something should be given her to eat. And her parents were amazed, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. May God bless to us this reading from his word.